This morning I drove down Doncaster Avenue and I slowed down outside number 27. There were no cars behind me, so I pushed in the clutch and stopped to look at the house. A red brick terrace house with bay windows looking on to a small concrete frontage and a path leading up to the front porch. Just the same, I thought. It's just the same as it was in 1979 when I came here to rent a room clogged with furniture for £7 a week. Inside that front door was a hall table, and on the hall table was a brass plate. And it's on that brass plate that I came home every Tuesday fortnight from work to find a letter from, well, let's call him James Conlon, who was in England at the time. Every second Tuesday, there it was, in response to the letter I had posted the previous Monday to him in Leeds. Our romance must have been sparked off the day that I and the music librarian visited library headquarters in Ballinahinch. From our own working premises in a small disused primary school situated at Tully West Crossroads near St Field in County Down. I met many people in library headquarters that day, but I was not introduced to him, though I did recognise him when he and some others paid a return visit to the music library as a tall man with a dark horseshoe moustache who had been loading books into cardboard boxes in the circulation department. I recall that we talked about music, both music he liked and music I liked, and that he told me he lived quite close by in Crossgar. And then, a few days later, while unpacking a delivery, I came across a green library index card addressed to me, with a red Fox's fruit suite attached to it by a length of sellotape. He was going away to do his master's in Leeds, he explained. At Halloween, a postcard arrived from Leeds with his address. And so our correspondence began. And a new quiet happiness came down on me. All that winter and into the spring, I looked forward to the Sundays I wrote to him almost more than the Tuesday evenings when I found his letter on the brass plate. Even posting my letter to him became a special act. I would take the letter into work on the Monday and listen out for the postman's van coming into the yard. From time to time, I would walk out to see if there were any sign of the red van on the roads. That part of County Down is all drumlins, round-shouldered hills, hunched and crowded, their narrow roads marked out with hawthorn that flickered into light in spring and in May, blazed with green. "Would you post a letter for me?" I always asked the postman with the unruly black hair and dark eyes, and he would take it from me and hand me the post for the library in return. I breathed easily again. The letter was safe. In the summer, he returned to his home in Crossgar. Two or three evenings a week, he would ride in from Crossgar to the farm to meet me coming out of work. We would walk all the way into St Field. In my memory, those walks were always in sunshine, with the sky blue. We walked along slowly, he wheeling the bike and guiding me round the outskirts of dried cow paths mixed with straw on the road. In St Field, we'd have a drink in the White Horse Inn, and then I would catch a bus into Belfast and he would cycle home. Once I missed the bus, and we walked all the way to Crossgar to meet the next one. Once we climbed Slieve Donard, and he asked me if I loved him. "I don't know," I said. "Would you have seven wee boys by me?" he asked. "Yes," I said. "Does that mean yes?" "Yes," he said. "Carol looks very happy," my father remarked to my mother. When did the change begin? When did his heart start to colden towards me? Where was the first sign? Was it the day he arrived in Tully West with a friend, so that all along my enchanted road I felt like a hanger-on? Or was it the night of that concert at Queen's, when he got up at the interval to get a drink and spent half an hour in the company of friends he knew were in the bar? Just before Christmas, he phoned to say he was going to London to look for work. "But I'll ring you next week," he said. "I'll write letters to you next week." But next week, the brass plate on the hall table was bare. And again the next week, bare. And again, and again, and again, bare. And the sight of that bare brass plate bore into me and followed me daily up the stairs to my empty, cluttered room. No letter ever came. I would never hear from him again. Anguish, I thought, seeing a car come up behind me in the rear-view mirror and letting out the clutch. Anguish is an empty brass plate on a hall table in a house on Doncaster Avenue.